Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. Thank you, Liz.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. May the Lord bless that reading to our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Liz. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we do indeed thank you for what we've been able to look at in Mozambique. And as we now look at your word, we pray that you prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name. The reading that we've just heard from Liz is this well-known parable. And those of you maybe can remember this particular parable from Sunday school days. There's a lovely old children's chorus about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and then the foolish man who built it upon the sand, and they all make that loud clap, bang noise when the house of the foolish man goes crashing down and falling down there when the floods come, and encouraging us to build our lives upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a parable which I've just chosen just to consider just for few minutes, and it's one really with a very profound message, and especially when we consider where the context in which we read this parable. It comes right at the end of what is known here in this part of Matthew's Gospel as the Sermon on the Mount, that occasion when Jesus goes up onto a mountain to speak to his disciples. And it's just worth very, very briefly just considering what Jesus was talking about. Jesus has started his ministry. He's going around teaching people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent gives us the opportunity to change our thinking, to have for our lives to be changed. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful message, this message of repenting, so that people could then be able to enjoy, to be able to be part and look forward to this kingdom of heaven that Jesus has come to announce, or kingdom of God as it's known in the other gospels. And then as Jesus is going about his work, he's going around all of Galilee, he's teaching in the synagogues as well, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he's healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Many people are coming to follow him from many different places, from far and wide, there in that part of the world. And Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he goes up onto the mountain, and he sits down, which I find interesting, and he's talking to his disciples. Now, it would have been more than just the 12 that later on we read of in that list. This is early on in his ministry, and different people are following him already, quite large numbers. And of course, he starts off with what's known as the Beatitudes, those blessings. Lovely how he starts that off. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I love it for those maybe who feel low, despondent, discouraged, poor in spirit. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And it goes on through that list. It's a wonderful way, I believe, of welcoming people who are coming to listen, coming to a service in church to say, you're blessed, and the different ways in which people are blessed. I like it when Jesus goes on to say, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That's interesting. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Then he continues. He says, you're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your taste. He says, you are the light of the world. Interestingly, how Jesus said in John's gospel, I am the light of the world. Here he's saying it to us as well who follow him. You are the light of the world. Don't hide that light, says Jesus. Let it shine out so that men should see your good works, men and women should see your good works and glorify not us, but our Father who is in heaven. He goes on to teach about how our righteousness should exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. That's quite a strong statement, I used to think to myself when I would read that in the past. But then we get these lovely examples of what Jesus means. And we can find one example when he says how that you have heard that it's a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. But he goes on to talk about turning the other cheek. He goes on to say about, you've heard it said, love your enemy, hating your, how it was said, love your enemy and hate your, love your neighbor, sorry, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, love your enemies. It's a whole different concept of thinking. And it's interesting, Jesus says, you know, your Father, he causes blessings, he causes the rain and the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the good and on the unjust as well. He goes on to talk about praying. He gives these wonderful simple prayers, Our Father, which we said earlier, who is in heaven. So it's simple, wonderful things telling us to address God as our Father. These are the things that are going on that Jesus is sharing through this sermon as he comes up to the parable that we just heard. Then he goes on and he gives what I consider the blueprint for a stress-free life. Many people live in stress, but here Jesus goes on to say, don't worry. Don't worry about what you should eat, about clothing for the body, about food. He encourages us to look at the lilies, to look at the flowers around us. He says, look at your Father. He dresses them. He clothes them. He tells us not to worry about food. He says, look at the birds, how your Father feeds them. I love that because what I find interesting here in this bit of the sermon is that he talks about these birds. And I suppose the first thing that will come to us when we think about these birds is, you know, the songbirds, you know, the little pretty birds. I remember at Christmas time, my mum here received the clock from the RSPB. And every time it comes to an hour, you hear some singing of one of the birds. It's got the wrens, it's got the nightingales, it's got the great tit, I think, hasn't it? And it's got the cuckoo and the woodpecker as well, pecking away into the wood. And two types of owls as well. The blackbird I always love because they're always up behind you when you're working in the garden after what you can dig up. It's those lovely birds. But, you know, if you were to read this account, this part of the sermon in Luke's gospel, Jesus actually names the bird, what he's referring to. And it's not one of those lovely birds that you find on that RSPB clock. It's the ravens. And, you know, the ravens, well, I mean, they're singing. I mean, it's isn't it? It's not the most pleasant of noises, of songs. They're from the crow family. They like to scavenge around. You know, if we could think of the other birds, they might say, well, I don't really like those ravens. I mean, they make an awful racket, don't they? Such scavengers. And yet that's the bird that Jesus names when we read of this teaching in Luke's gospel. It just shows us that our Father, he reaches out to all people. Maybe they're far away from God, but yet he still reaches out to them. to ensure that they have their field, that they have their food. Then he gives some very sound advice about judgment. He says, don't judge so that you yourself are not judged. And then he goes on to say, and you see a little bit of humor, how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye if you've got a 4x4 plank in your own eye? And Jesus says, you know, first you've got to take the plank out of your own eye before you can take the speck out of your brother's eyes. And so he continues. And when you get the opportunity, it's worth reading this sermon from chapter 5 through to the end of chapter 7. It takes about 20 minutes to read the whole sermon. So it's not very long. But as we come towards the end, Jesus then gives words of advice. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Very sober words as Jesus comes to the end of this sermon. And it's then that we find these words that we've just heard from Liz. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's a lovely, simple parable, but it's one that's very, very deep. It teaches us something very important. It's easy to hear. It would have been very easy for the people there listening to Jesus to have been challenged, to have been moved, touched by what he said, but then to just go on and say, you know, that was lovely, but then to perhaps forget or not think anymore about what he was teaching. But he says, to the ones who put into practice what I say, it's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, it's interesting. In that time, I can imagine people would build possibly their own homes. If you go to Africa, if you go to Mozambique and to other African countries, if you go out into the bush, a man wants to build a house for his wife and family. He would go to the local administrator, get some land, and then he, maybe with the help of one or two others, will build their house from the simple materials that they could find. I can imagine that that's what it would have been like in the time of Jesus. But Jesus talks about this wise man who goes and ensures that he builds his house on rock. Why on rock? Well, it's a solid, of course. It's a solid foundation. If you read this parable in Luke's gospel, we find there Jesus talking about how the wise man dug deep until he could find the rock on which to build his house. And of course, by doing that, he's got a good, solid foundation, so that when the rains come, the storms come, and the water washes all around, that house stands firm. And Jesus said, that's like the ones who listen and they do what I say. They follow what I say. They put it into practice. But then he goes on about the foolish man who goes for the easy option, building his house on sand. Not really going to work up a lot of sweat building the house. You'll build it very quickly. But what I find interesting is that afterwards, Jesus talks about the rain descending, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now, it's interesting that when you look at the house that the wise man built and the house that the foolish man built, the one who does not put into practice what Jesus says, it's exactly the same situation that their houses face. The rain's descending, the flood's coming, and the wind's blowing and beating on that house. It's exactly the same. If Matthew was writing this today, he could do copy and paste at this point if he was writing it on a computer. They go through exactly the same storms, their houses. What this shows to me, and what is very important here, is that as Christians, we go through the same challenges as those who don't follow Christ, each one will go through those same difficulties. When we had COVID, we all faced the same restrictions. When the government announces about inflation going up, we all find ourselves having to deal with that same issue of having to maybe tighten our belts, wondering where the funds will come to pay for different things. All the different challenges we find ourselves, all of us going through those same things. Sickness, ill health, all those things we face. But what Jesus is saying here is that the wise man, because he learned and did what Jesus was teaching, his house was able to withstand all those storms that are beating against him, that are beating against his life, those challenges and difficulties. For the foolish man who really forgot him, it was difficulties. It was a life that's falling down, maybe falling into depression, falling into anxieties, falling into all sorts of different worries. And so this simple parable with a simple message reminds us that it's not just a case of hearing, but it's also following and obeying and putting it into practice. But what I find so moving as we just come to the end of this parable is that, you know, Jesus had absolute confidence in what he was saying. He has been teaching these people. He's been sharing these words in this sermon and in other places as he ministers to the people. And he just says to the people, if you listen and do, you're like that wise man. Your lives will be able to stand. They may be shaken, but they'll be able to stand when those storms come. It shows the absolute confidence that Jesus has in what he's teaching to the people. And rightly so, because as we read in John's Gospel, we read as Jesus is being referred to as the Word that comes and came and dwell among us, full of grace and truth. And so, as they come here, it's no wonder that as the people were listening to what Jesus was saying, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That to me shows the absolute confidence as we hear and we read through what is written for us in God's word, and as we put into practice what is taught to us, and as we obey it and follow it through, we can have that confidence that when the different challenges come, and they do come, the different storms come, they always will come, that we can stand, our lives can stand firm. Above all, they can stand firm because of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the hope of eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus when he went to the cross for our salvation. It's this in which we're able to place our confidence. And you know, when we go back to places like Mozambique and other places as well, one of the things that my wife and I always remembered is that when they lost a member of their family and we would go, as you do, it's the tradition, the custom, to go and visit them, to sit with them and offer your condolences. One of the things they often say to us, they say, well, really, life is a journey. We're just passing through. We've got eternal life ahead of us with Christ. And that's this that enables us to have that confidence as we follow and build our lives on the Word of God. And with that in mind, shall we sing the hymn and do the collection at the end? Would that be okay? Yes, after the hymn. Sorry about that. Yeah. So we're going to sing our final hymn, and it's very appropriate. It's 473, and it's got those lovely words, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name." And I love the chorus. "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Thank you. 473.